We're gonna try this and see what transpires. A bunch of different styles to fill our desires. It's gonna be super fun and full of wit. Robert Bacon is the host and he's full of it. We're gonna try it. After we like it, maybe we'll try it again. Maybe not though, podcast.
Welcome to Try This Podcast, a podcast where every week we have on a comedian and we do the podcast that they have always wanted to do. I'm Robert Bacon. Before we get started, just want to say that you got one more week to check out Poster Boys in the Beat Lounge at Second City. It's a super fun live show. You can get tickets right on the Try This Podcast Facebook page. The show is Friday, January 27th at 10:30 p.m. in the Beat Lounge at Second City. Moving on, enough plugs. This week, we have another live episode, and it is once again from the show Funeral for a Fictional Friend. This week is a little bit of a grab bag because we are doing Disney parents and mostly Walt Disney, as it turned out to be. I will not need to bust in during the podcast because no one is really wearing any costume except for me. When I'm performing, I'm wearing an oversized suit to do my Sean Spicer impression. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is a Disney parent funeral.
Welcome, dearly beloved, as we remember a plethora of Disney parents. And we remember these Disney parents. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, who would do this week? And I want to say, when I planned this show in September, I had no fucking idea that Trump was going to win the presidency. This doesn't feel like my fault, and I want you to remember that as we go throughout this evening. Let's bring up our first sister, who was very touched by the lives of hashtag Disney parents.
Habari, everyone. I'm writing to do what I can to set right the harms that I did during my youth. I guess it all started when I murdered my dad. Yeah, that's messed up, right? The Menendez brothers ain't got shit on me. It took two of them. I used to live in this beautiful kingdom, the Pride Land. My dad was a king. He used to take me out to survey our land, and I'm not sure how far away we lived from where he grew up in Zamunda, but he knew so much about the world. Our kingdom was peaceful, but there was one neighborhood, Elephant Graveyard. Shadowy, sketchy, filled with ethnic types. I didn't mean to go there, but I heard they had the best stuff. I'm talking grade A smack. I was just a kid, but I liked to party. Anyway, one day, my uncle took me to this party at the Gorge, and he tells me he has a surprise for me. He used to kick it with the hyenas from Elephant Graveyard, so I'm thinking we're gonna split a fat sack of some good dope. A pack of wildebeest started stampeding, and I'm stuck. My dad came and saved me, but he falls. My uncle tells me that I killed him. Those hyenas from the graveyard start chasing me. So I ran. What else was I supposed to do? I was up like O.J. Simpson in a white Bronco. So I've been homeless for a few years now. I drift with a transsexual meerkat and a nasty-ass warthog with a gas problem. Hakuna Matata, they always say. It means no worries. But what it really means is they don't give a shit about anything. Last weekend, I went and I did some ayahuasca to clear my mind. My father appeared in the clouds, and he told me I've lost my way. And he's right. So here I am, coming back to Pride Rock. Let me be very clear that this admission in no way whatsoever relieves me of my responsibility for my actions. But here I am, taking the steps to get back on the straight and narrow, you know? Finding my place on the path unwinding, in the circle. The circle of life. Nakupenda, Simba.
I think we're all looking at the Lion King in a new way. In a new way, we haven't looked at it since we realized Whoopi Goldberg's character also didn't have eyebrows. And if you feel that shock that I'm feeling, turn that shock into something positive. Realize that I had 3 glasses of wine right before this, even though I promised my cast I wouldn't tell you guys. Okay, but here we are being honest with each other. So now I want to bring forward Mike Gifford, a homosexual and all-around terrible person.
Thank you. I dressed to match Claire's teeth tonight. Woo! She'll be crying in about 15 minutes. Now, did you say that was your first time doing anything comedic before?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't? Oh, I misinterpreted. Okay, well, either way, I loved it. Thank you. So we'd never met before. All right. I would say that the Walt Disney Company represents as much evil as the Catholic Church, except for the fact that Walt Disney hated Catholics. How do you spell bigot? MICKAYMOUSE. Yes, tonight I am talking about the memory and honor of the original Disney daddy, Walter Elias Disney. Good old Walt was more than the creator of a magic kingdom and a dreamer of our American dreams, but in fact a right-wing fanatic whose original plan for Walt Disney World in Florida was not an amusement park, but known as Project Epcot. What's Project Epcot? Now, I'm not talking about a big, silly globe with stupid robot presidents that talk funny. No! I'm talking about a racist society. Yes, Epcot stands for Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. And it was, in fact, to be a utopian city where white Anglo-Saxon Protestants could rule the world. Plus, they had the Dumbo ride. Sadly, Papa Walt's milky white dream did not become realized. But he left us with the legacy of firing the star of Old Yeller, Tommy Kirk, for being gay and shooting a dog. He hired virtually no one of color. He was known for underpaying women, union busting, and gladly cooperating with the House Un-American Activities Committee. Plus, he killed his own mother. Yes, Walt Disney killed his mom, Flora, that fucking bastard. Sidebar. Today, I was thinking about life and my future, and I was just riding on the train going nowhere. And I bumped into my friend, and he's a dog walker because he's given up on life too. And so we went back to his place and we're watching old episodes of Monday Night Raw from 1997. And while we were there, he said he wanted to go smoke a cigarette, so I went out to his back porch and I sat on a broken lawn chair next to him, and he sat on a broken metal fold-out chair, and he smoked a cigarette, and I took a couple of drags of it. And there was a cardboard box that was sinking into the ground with a piece of plywood on top of it, where sat an ashtray and other sort of illegal drug paraphernalia. And I said, this is sort of a symbol of our lives. How could it have gotten this bad? And he said, no, it gets worse, because in that box is my life. What? Yeah, he took off the piece of plywood, set on the floor, and opened it up, and it was literally every earthly possession of history that he owned. Photo albums, old comics, and we laughed looking at the pictures, but then he pulled out a yellow t-shirt with something heavy in it. He said, here, hold that. And then he said, I said, what's this? And he said, unwrap it. And I did unwrap it. And I found that it was his sister's gravestone. Oh. Yes. He had the marker of his sister's grave before the original, before the permanent grave could be put on. He kept the one that marked her grave because she was murdered. And he kept it in a box that was sinking in his porch with pot resin on top of it. And I thought, my life's not so bad. End of sidebar. On December 15th, 1966, Walt Disney died of lung cancer. But don't worry, the Disney magic lives on. It moved into the White House. So when you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are, except if you're a person of color, a woman, queer, or anything otherwise different. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true.
Thank you.
This is what Walt would have wanted. And I have to say, I thought it was a little unfair that Mike brought up his racism and his sexism. And I thought that it was unfair that he bring up Walt's racism and sexism, which, without mentioning how weird he was during the Red Scare. So let's all pull up a chair. Now, Walt made life pretty much unlivable for all of his artists. And they began to quit and form a union and strike. When the Red Scare came up, Walt Disney marched into court as a head witness and named every single person that left his company during the strike. And they said, what is your evidence that these people are communists? And Walt Disney said, I just got a feeling. And since it was Walt Disney, that was enough to blacklist all of their careers. Now, where were we? I'm sorry, that ruined the show. This next person didn't 100% volunteer to do this show. I offered her money to perform last week.
She refused.
She refused. And then I said this week, if you don't do it tonight, I will die tonight. And she's here with us tonight. God works in mysterious ways. So here comes my good friend, who I have forced into this relationship, Caroline Thrasher.
Thank you, Claire. And I truly hope you get the help you need. Thank you all so much for coming and being here today to mourn the death of all the Disney parents, but also to celebrate their life. Also, yes, this is a Beauty and the Beast dress that I owned previous to tonight. Anyways, funerals are a great time to gather together to talk about the impact of people's lives on our lives, because that's what we are, selfish beings, and it only matters what we think, right? But that's what I'm here to tell you, what I think about all this. Now, I would consider myself a Disney expert, somewhat of a Disney expert. I have been to Disneyland and Disney World, watched every movie, can sing every song, and own pins. And I bought these. I spent money on these. I wasn't just gifted these. Like, I actually took money and gift cards and bought them. Anyways, also my mother-in-law made me this jacket. It's got the Disney key on the back. 2016, when we went to Disneyland, Genie was my favorite character. Rest in peace. And it's a funeral! And teacups is my favorite ride. Also, my name is Caroline. And these are not my real eyelashes. Guys, Disney parents, there has been, it's widely known that there are a lot of single parents in the Disney universe. There are a lot of dead parents or just no parents at all for no explained reason. Some people theorize that it's because Walt Disney, the murderer, never quite got over the death of his own mom. Some people theorize that it's to show children of different sorts of families that it's okay, whatever kind of family you come from, that you can still be a Disney princess and be ruled by a man. Or some people say that it had nothing to do with the story. Like, the story of Dumbo is between Dumbo and his mom. It's not about Dumbo and his dad, and so Dumbo's dad didn't exist. Period. Now, there are some people out there on the internet who think they're real fucking clever. And they have come up with a lot of reasons for the disappearance of these parents. As you know, some Disney parents' deaths are known, but they're not well known. Like, a lot of people, by show of hands, how many people here have seen Little Mermaid 3? Little Mermaid 3, Ariel's Beginnings is the full name. Anybody here seen that? Raise your hand. Okay, David Schwartzbaum has. Great. So David Schwartzbaum and I are the only ones who've seen it. Now, did you guys know that Ariel once had a mom? And she had a mom, and this mom was in Little Mermaid 3, Ariel's Beginnings, and you see how she dies. She dies on screen. She is smashed into by a pirate ship and split into pieces in front of Ariel and all of her seven mermaid sisters. So yeah, I think we can forgive Ariel for like her little treasure trove, okay? She's fucking working through some shit. There's a lot of theories on other people, like, Andy's dad from Toy Story was killed by a rocket launch, or Dumbo's dad was poached, or... Oh, come on. What do you do for elephants? Like, show me one receipt of donating to any elephant fund and I'll take the joke back. Or like that dad cat from Aristocats, there's a theory that he was just a tomcat who like fucked and ducked and then was caught by a poacher and killed. But those are all just theories.
Now, I want you guys to know, because we're all friends by this point, we've been through a lot, we've seen it all, we've heard it all. I'm going to bring out Sean Spicer here. Come on out, man. I know you're coming out anyways.
Thank you for those of you who know who I am. Somebody owns a TV or internet. Good evening. Thank you guys for coming. I know my normal job is the White House press secretary, but Mr. Trump has sent me here today to defend. You got this, Spicer. Come on. Defend the honor of his many good friends who have been slandered by Walt Disney. First, I would like to say that information has been framed in a way in one particular film to minimize the enormous support gathered for our true king, Scar. I want to be clear. This was the biggest gathering that Pride Rock has ever seen. This was the first time that ground coverings were used to protect the grass, and that effect highlighted any areas where zebras and or elephants were not standing. Let me be clear. No one had the numbers. Because lions, which control the ceremony, literally cannot count. We do know a few things. So let's get to the facts, okay? We know from Pride Rock to where the antelope usually stand, holds about 1,000 omnivores. From the antelope to the primates is another 2,000. We know that all this space was full when Scar took the rock. That means over 1 million animals, if you count the insects, were there to see Scar. A number almost double what we saw at Pride Rock when Mufasa was king. Also, the New York Times has ran an article saying that hyenas have interfered with the election process. These attempts to lessen the enthusiasm of Scar are shameful? And wrong! I also know that those of you in the media thought that Simba was next in line to be king. I know that after that stupid baboon slapped some juice on Simba's face and almost threw him off that rock, that he had high pull numbers. But the pull numbers were wrong. Scar won, get over it. And he will make everything the light touches great again. When the wildebeest found out that Scar was king, they gave him a 5-hour standing ovation. That is because wildebeest sleep standing up. We in the Trump administration believe that Scar is not the only victim by this false news reporting. Ursula. Ursula helped unfortunate merfolk attempt to achieve their own goals. She is a job creator. Peter Pan doesn't grow old. Captain Hook just wants to see his birth certificate. Bambi's mom was a nasty woman. And that hunter has Second Amendment rights. And finally, when Disney sends us their Dalmatians, they are not sending their 101 best. They are bad dogs, they are not house trained, and some, I assume, would make a good coat. Thank you for coming. I will not answer any questions because every time I tell a lie, I shrink in this suit just a little bit more. Good night and long live the king.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that was going to happen. But looking back, yes, we all did. Coming up is someone whose name I have never gotten right, but I'm going to try again. Let's bring out Chris Radatowski.
Hi, my name is Chris Radatowski, but most people call me Rat. One of the questions I often get is, Rat, are you a man or a woman? To which I answer, only God can judge me. Of course, I'm here to speak about the life of Damien Johansson. Many of you may know him as the father of the evil stepsisters from Cinderella. He is often forgotten about in the canon of deceased Disney parents. He is my ex-brother-in-law. His first wife was my older sister, Deb. Unfortunately, they were divorced after only 18 months. Even so, Damien has always felt like a brother to me. In fact, I helped him install an above-ground hot tub on his balcony at his apartment complex. Soon after installation, we were asked to remove the hot tub. Damien met his second wife, who many have called the evil stepmother, but who I know by her first name, which is Monique. Even though Damien was no longer married to my older sister, Deb, I was fortunate enough to be in the room during the birth of his twin girls. It was interesting because they both came out feet first, but one foot belonged to one twin and one belonged to the other one that came out. And so they came out doing the splits. Sorry, this is hard. During the birth, Damien looked me right in the eye and screamed at me to stop doing a charcoal drawing of the birth. But to this day, I still have that charcoal drawing hanging in my living room. It was of the twins doing the split. Damien was taken too soon. If it hadn't have been for Damien coming to that underpass to keep me from getting that wizard tattoo, he would never have been struck by that bullet. Under an underpass, while I was getting a stomach tattoo of a wizard, but my belly button is a crystal ball in the wizard's hand. Anyway, thank you.
Here comes Brother Schwartzbaum.
I come out every week and I give a proper Jewish burial to our fallen hero. Funerals in the Jewish community are sacred, humble experiences where you prostrate yourself in front of God. And I hope that over these last several weeks, I've been able to elevate us spiritually. If you haven't been here before, then please show some respect. I'm here today instead to talk about the mass extermination of our Jewish brothers and sisters in these Disney stories. Shame on Walt Disney, the known anti-Semite and Nazi sympathizer. Every single Disney parent who died in the movies was Jewish. You don't believe me? Tarzan's parents, John Clayton and Alice Greystroke, actually named in Hebrew Yonatan Shmuel ben Mikhail Vajia and Alechem Hana bat Unsi Bluma, were Jews. Don't you find it curious that these good-looking white people decided to travel the treacherous waters of northern Africa with a baby for a better life? Why would they do that? They did it because they were one of the 5,000 Jewish immigrants who died emigrating from South and Central Africa to Israel in the early 1900s. But Walt doesn't want to share that piece of information with you. Cinderella's mother died not of a mysterious disease, as it says in Disney lore, but as the white anti-Semitic Walt Disney will tell you, but of tuberculosis, which in New York in the 1920s was nicknamed the Jewish disease. Though this disease was curable, thousands of Jews, just like Cinderella's mother, Mishka Devorah Bat Chana Leiba, were not treated because everyone in New York at that time were anti-Semites, period. You don't believe me? At that time in New York, Jewish women were only allowed to have a few select occupations: maid, launderer, tailor. So what do you think Mishka, that Jewish mother, taught her daughter Ella to do? Her daughter and all her little Jewish animal children what to do. They were all Jewish. Every single animal in Cinderella sang Jewish songs and was circumcised at 8 days old. Lightning round. Snow White was born into a royal family. But what you don't know is that royal family was actually the King Josiah and Queen Zebediah of Judea, who ruled in 670 B.C., Aladdin's father was killed by the Muslim sultan in ancient Israel, not Palestine. The guards called him street rat. This is the same type of language the Nazis used, comparing Jews to rodents in the 1940s. Coincidence? Aladdin was Jewish, is what I'm saying. Ariel, the mermaid's mother, she made a deal with Ursula in 612 BCE to strip herself of her Jewish identity, or her Jewish voice, to survive the genocide of the Jews by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Ursula would do anything to have someone be stripped of their Judaism. And why? Because she's an anti-Semite. Thank you. I could do this all day, people! Single parent, every single one who died was Jewish. Now, I know what you're all thinking. How about the most famous Disney death, right? The one everyone likes to joke about, Bambi's mother. Because no one ever asks why Bambi takes place in the forest. It takes place there because the death camp that Bambi and her mother escaped from, Treblinka, was located in the forest of Poland. That's right, Treblinka, where 900,000 of my people were exterminated, was in the forest. And unfortunately, just like one other statistic, the Nazis found Bambi's mother and killed her too. And this week's Torah portion by Ira, which I'll see you all at Temple 4 to read on Saturday, Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh, and they tell him to let my people go. With a hardened heart, Pharaoh says no, and the first eight plagues are sent down upon Egypt. As God says to Moses in this week's portion, I will bring you out from under the hardship of Egypt, and I will save you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you to myself as a nation, and I will be your God. Tonight I redeem these great Jewish martyrs and heroes. They lived life, and as King David said, in the holiest way. When they were born, they cried and the world rejoiced. However, when they died, you cried and they rejoiced. In heaven, where there are no anti-Semites. Please repeat after me as we end this funeral. Baruch Dayan Emet, blessed is the true judge. Blessed
is the true judge.
Thank you. There will be Shiva services all week at Claire Winnick's house in Lakeview. Right off Surf and Broadway. We'll do Shacharit services, and then there'll be a bagel breakfast afterward. As you leave today, please remember the Jewish traditions. Don't turn your back on the casket as you leave, and make sure to wash your hands to keep yourselves pure. I thank you all very much, and have a great night.
I want to be real with you guys. This is the final night of this show, and it also marks the day that Mary Tyler Moore left us. And it is because of her, and certainly not Del Close, that women are allowed to come up here and do the dumbest shit you could imagine. And I seriously am so grateful. She paved the way, and this might not have been the best way to honor her, but something tells me it 100% was. And with that, we're going to bring up Caroline Thrasher one more time, because I think she has another song.
Think the only people who are people,
yeah, we got it,
are the people who look and think like you. Footsteps of a stranger, you'll learn things you never knew, you never knew.
Goodbye.
Have you ever heard a wolf cry to the blue-corn moon, or ask a grinning bobcat why?
That is this week's episode of Try This Podcast. If you like this podcast and want more, you can listen to all our episodes over at trythispodcast.com or on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, all of them. If you want to support the podcast, you can check out my posters over at MarioMaps.com. That is MarioMaps.com. Or you could just subscribe and get a new episode every Wednesday or Thursday. That's it. Make sure to tune in next week. We'll have on a new guest, and we'll do the podcast that they have always wanted to do. I'm Robert Bacon. Keep trying.
We went and tried this. And saw what transpired. This particular podcast filled our desires. We had a lot of fun and it was full of wit. Robert Bacon was our host and he's full of shit. We went and tried this, now that it's done, it's been done, but never was before we did it ever. Podcast.
You're drunk.